thank our worship team this morning for leading us in worship. It is so good to see all of you here. Thank you for being in person. For those that are online, we welcome you. Just before we dive into the word, my name is Cameron Free. I'm one of the pastors here at the church. And you might have noticed this morning that Pastor Bill and Elizabeth are not here this morning. And the reason is, we just want to tell you that they came in contact with coronavirus. They have both been tested negative, and they are just staying home out of an abundance of caution. And so we are excited to be here with you today. They are watching us online. Welcome to our online audience, Pastor Bill and Elizabeth. Let's just send a little bit of love and appreciation their way. If this is your first time here, my name is Cameron. Pastor Bill will be back soon. We will see them both soon, and we look forward to when that happens. Thank you so much for being here. I'm excited to be able to share the word with you today. About 6 years ago, a group of us got together and planted a hedge on the north side of our parking lot here. If you were in person, many of you saw it on your way in. It's this long stretch. It goes on the north side of our property, and you can see it in the picture there. And when we planted these hedges, first of all, we did a terrible job because we were trying to keep it straight, but they ended up getting crooked. It's really hard to keep a hedge line straight. And so I think some of you were even there that might be in the room here watching us online. We had to keep it straight. We had to work really hard to get it to happen. And when we put it up, they were about shoulder height. And what you'll begin to notice when you look at these bushes is that some of them that are under the covering of the tree are a different height than those that are outside of the tree. The ones that are underneath the covering of the tree are still at the same height as when we planted them. They've grown a little bit, and we've trimmed them back and grown a little bit, but they're not nearly the same height as that the hedges outside of the tree. Those are 2 or maybe 3 times taller in some sections. Well, why? What do we know about plants? Plants thrive with direct sunlight, most of them, as well as water. The bushes underneath the covering of the tree not getting as much sunlight and not getting as much water. Plants were designed to grow, and those plants are not growing quite as well underneath the safety and the comfort of the tree. The reality is that for a lot of us in this room, we have not grown in the last 6 years either. Or maybe we didn't grow at all in 2020. Or maybe we haven't grown in the last 20 or 30 years. We're here, we're just kind of doing our thing, but we have not grown. Maybe you've been playing it a little safe, staying comfortable, staying under the safety of something. Maybe you've just been doing the same things you've always been doing. But there's a truth that we see with these bushes, and it's going to help lay the foundation for when we open the text. And that truth is that it is difficult to grow where it's comfortable. It is difficult to grow where it's comfortable. We were not designed to be comfortable. We were designed to get out, experience some of the elements, get a little bit out of our comfort zones so that we can grow, because it's difficult to grow where it's comfortable. But man, we love our comfort zones, don't we? Don't we just love our comfort zones? We just love doing the things that we're just very comfortable with. We want to be safe, we want to be careful. We just want to be right in our comfort zone. But that may not be where God wants you to be in your life. Maybe God wants you to get out of your comfort zone. Maybe he has an opportunity for you to grow in an area that you haven't experienced growth in a very, very long time. And if you look in Scripture, the Bible is full of times where God had somebody get out of their comfort zone. It's all over Scripture. God pushing people outside of their comfort zone so that they can experience spiritual growth and grow closer to him. He calls us out of our comfort zone sometimes. A lot. And we're going to look at one of those stories today. We're going to be in Acts chapter 9. If you'll open there, we'll be in Acts chapter 9, beginning in verse 10. Acts chapter 9, beginning in verse 10. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias," and he said, "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Rise and go to the street called Straight. At the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul, for behold, he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has the authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go. He is my chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands upon him, he said, "Brother Saul, Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. So we see this interaction. We see these two characters, these two men in this story, Ananias and Saul. Ananias was a disciple. He was a follower of God. And Saul was very much not a follower of God. Yes, this is the Saul that you might have heard about. This is the Saul that just a few chapters earlier is encouraging the killing of somebody who claims to be a follower of Jesus. This is the same Saul that is ripping people from their homes that identify with Jesus and throwing them in prison. He's ripping families apart, husbands, wives, mothers, fathers, sons, daughters, taking them from their loved ones. This is that Saul. And in the early part of this chapter, what we see going on in Saul's life is that Saul is so enraged at the idea of people following Jesus that he is on his way to Damascus to get even more believers. He has special permission so that he can continue to rip them from their homes and take them. And what happens on this road that Saul is on is that he has an encounter with God. At the beginning of this chapter, God knocks him to the ground and blinds him. And he basically says, "Saul, what are you doing? Why are you doing this to me?" God said. And so Saul is blinded. He goes to the house of a man named Judas in Damascus, the city he was going to hurt. And he gets there, and he's in the home of somebody he doesn't know very well, in an environment he's not familiar with, and he's blind, sitting there for 3 days. Saul's in a really, really difficult spot. Saul has no real friends here. If you think about it, think about Saul right now. He is the enemy of Christianity. And he has this encounter with God, and he sits there blind, starting to pray. Who do you think Saul is going to reach out to for help? He can't reach out to his old friends. He can't call them up and be like, "Hey guys, you know those people that I was sent to kill? I'm one of them now." Like, that's not going to go over very well. And he can't call Christians, the people that are following Jesus, and say, hey guys, it's Saul. You mean like Saul? Click, hang up, not talking to you. Because they're terrified of him. They're afraid of what he is going to do. Saul is in a very tough spot here. He needs someone. He's had an encounter with God, and God sends Ananias. And so we pick it up in verse 10. God says, "Ananias." And Ananias says, "Here I am, Lord." Some of your translations say, "Yes, Lord." His response here is positive. He's responding in the affirmative. He's saying, "Here I am, Lord," or "Yes, Lord." It's not a question mark. It's not, "Yes, Lord." It's not, Yes, depending on what you're going to say next. Yes, depending on what you're going to ask me to do. No. There's not a condition on his response. He is saying, yes, Lord. I think of the times that I get a phone call from somebody that I don't recognize. The way that we treat our phone calls depends on who we think it is. So if you think it's a spam call, you might go, nope, and you just put it right back down. Sometimes maybe it's somebody you know, but you know they're going to ask you to do something that you don't want to do, so you either decline it or put it to the side, or maybe you just kind of... Hello, I got like 1 minute and then I'm going to go do this thing. So just real quick, bye. And you just get off as fast as you can. We don't always respond to God in the way that we ought to. But we see this example here from Ananias. He says, here I am, Lord. I'm here. Yes, Lord. And that is an amazing response. And so what the Lord says to him is, rise and go. For there's a man named Saul. He's blind, he's praying, here's where he is. And you can just imagine the thought process of Ananias. I'm sorry, Saul? You want me to go see Saul? Right now, like today. You mean like Saul? Like the Saul that's been doing terrible things, unspeakable things to our people? That Saul? And he's praying? Saul's not praying. God, come on. Saul's not praying. Like, you can just imagine the thought process here from Ananias. He's responding positively, yes, Lord, but there's about to be a little bit of doubt, a little bit of pushback. And so what does Ananias say in the next verses? He says, God, I've heard about this man. I've heard what he's been doing to other people, to our people. I've heard what's been going on. He's basically saying, God, are you sure about this? Do you actually know what it is you're asking me to do? I'm risking my life here by going. I'm risking my ministry, doing some really cool things here, God, and you want me to go out here and talk to this guy that I know has been trouble? He pushes back just a little bit. And the Lord comes back and says, go. He just says, go. And he gives a couple of different reasons why. He says, go, for he is my chosen instrument. He is my chosen instrument. I want you to see the comparison here. Ananias is saying, God, I've been hearing a lot about what these people are saying about Saul. And God says, he is my chosen instrument. Aren't we so thankful that what man says about us, what people say about us, is not nearly as important as what God says about us? From man's limited perspective, all they could see was Saul the murderer, Saul the persecutor, but God had a bigger plan in mind. God didn't see that. He saw it, obviously he saw it happening, but that wasn't Saul's identity. He said, go, for he is my chosen instrument. Chosen instrument to do what? To carry my name. He is my chosen instrument to carry my name before all these people. So go. God says go a second time. He told him to go. Ananias said, are you sure about this? And then God said, go. And so Ananias, faced with this decision, decides to go. And he takes this step to go visit this person who has been doing terrible things to so many people. And armed with nothing more than just some basic directions, here's the house where he's staying on this street. Armed with nothing more than that and a little bit of obedience, Ananias decides to obey. And we don't know what happened between the conversation that he had with God, and then the conversation that he has with Saul. We don't know what's happening there, but you can just imagine, just put yourself in the shoes of Ananias on that journey. We don't know exactly how far it was between Ananias' home and the home where Saul was. Just imagine what that journey might have been like for Ananias. Maybe a little bit of doubt, maybe a little bit of encouragement. God said, go, and God gave him the reasons why. God encouraged him on this journey. But Ananias is a human. He's thinking through some of these things. So just imagine Ananias as he's on this journey. He's going to find Saul. And so Ananias goes. And you can just imagine he's just praying. He's talking with God. He's thinking through what he's going to do. Like, God, like, is he like, God, he's blind, right? Like, he's blind. Like, what I could do is I could just go in real quick, evangelize him, and if it doesn't go well, like, I could just run away because he hasn't seen my face. But I guess, Judas, Ananias, this is going to be kind of weird, but is there a guy named Saul here? Oh, there is. Okay. Is he still blind, though? Okay, good. Because I need to see him. And so Ananias goes in, and there is Saul. Enemy Saul. We know what the Lord told him to do. Told him to go, pray with him, that he might regain his sight. So Ananias goes in, and what does he say to him? He says, "Brother Saul." He says, "Brother Saul." You want to be like, "Ananias, what are you doing? This is the enemy. This is enemy Saul." God was doing a work in Ananias' heart on that journey and as he got there so that he could see Saul the way that God saw Saul. Enemy Saul was now brother Saul. And so Ananias goes and lays his hands on him. And Saul in this moment is extremely vulnerable. He has so many enemies, so many people that can't stand him because of what he's done to believers. And all Ananias has to do here in this moment, he could have taken things into his own hands and just ended it. He could have pulled out a weapon. He could have just taken his hands that were on Saul and just slowly just ended his life. He could have done that, but that's not what God told him to do. That wasn't the plan that God had for him. The plan would be that enemy Saul would become brother Saul. And that's what God does. He turns enemies into family, enemies into friends, enemies into brothers and sisters, so much so that the worst person that we can think of alive at that time doing terrible things had the opportunity to go from enemy to brother. And you can just imagine those first moments. He walks in, he prays with him, and then the Bible says something like scales fell from his eyes. And you can just picture this moment with Ananias looking into the eyes of Saul, seeing a transformed person before him. And as Saul begins to regain his sight, Saul has been physically blind for 3 days. But he has been spiritually blind his entire life. And in that moment, he regains his physical sight, and he sees before him Ananias, somebody who had the courage to step out of what was comfortable and into a situation that was very uncomfortable, where God used him in an amazing way. But that moment that Ananias and Saul had together would not have happened if Ananias had just stayed home. It would not have happened if Ananias had said, "Nah, I'm good. Just gonna stay here at home." He did what he was supposed to do. Ananias listened, and he did what he was supposed to do. And this is a beautiful example and story of how we should step out of what is comfortable so that we can do the things that God wants us to do. But my concern is that many of us, if we were Ananias, would have missed that opportunity with Saul. We would have missed the opportunity to minister to this person that needs help, that's going to minister to so many other people in his lifetime and give us a lot of what we know in the scriptures. Like this is an important person that God is using Ananias to help and to serve in this moment. But the problem is that many of us might have missed that opportunity because it was just a little bit too unsafe and a little bit too uncomfortable. We love our comfort zones. And I want to talk a little bit about our comfort and then pull some lessons from this for us this morning. I wanted to lay before you a definition of what a comfort zone is so that you can just see it in this spiritual context. Our comfort zone is where we stay safe, focus on our preferences, and limit our obedience. Our comfort zone is where we stay safe, focus on our preferences, and limit our obedience. This is basically a definition that is the opposite of what Ananias did. Ananias did all the right things. I lay this before you so that you can see if you might be in a comfort zone, if you're just staying where it's safe, focusing on yourself, maybe saying no when God asks you to do something. This is what a comfort zone looks like. And it's going to be different for each one of you. And there's a lot of different comforts that we love in our life, but I want to talk about three of them that I think might be plaguing some of us in this room, that might be preventing us from stepping out a little bit. The first is the comfort of familiarity. We love what is familiar to us. We love the things that we've done before, and some of us just kind of stay right in there. We just like to stay, just like those hedges in that picture. We like to stay underneath the covering, but we might not be growing as much as God wants us to grow in that moment. We love what's familiar. Why? Because taking a step could lead to some negative consequence. It could lead to some outcome that we don't want. We don't want to take a step of faith sometimes because it might lead us, we might fail the first time. We want to just stick with what's familiar. And I'm reminded of a time when I stepped out a little bit, risked failure a little bit. It was when I was in middle school, and I was in our youth group at the church I was at the time, and I had been playing piano and practicing, and I had the opportunity to play in our youth group worship band for the very first time as a middle schooler. So I got the piano. This was like, it was the Yamaha piano. I had it at my house. Some of you might have had it. The keys were not weighted, so they're just like the cheap little plastic ones. It's got all those buttons at the top where you can change all the different sounds, and it's really cool. And so I was up there. I was excited, a little nervous, had never done anything like this before, but I believe God wanted me to do it. So I'm up there playing, got my keyboard. I was standing up behind the keyboard like some people do. And so we're just playing, and it's awesome. And it's like, yeah, I could sing of your love forever. Because it's 2002, so that's the song that we were singing. Remember that song? Whew. Wow, song just goes on forever. But anyways, we're up there playing. I could sing of your love. Yeah, middle school Cameron doing an awesome job playing his piano. And we got off the stage. We're all high-fiving each other. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Look what we just did. Aren't we awesome? This is so cool. And so we went around to the sound guy. And we were like, wasn't that so great? This is awesome. We're leading worship for all these students. This is great. And he was like, yeah, Cameron, there was a real interesting sound coming out of your piano, which is not exactly what you want to have somebody say about your playing abilities. And what we figured out was that when I had laid out the notebooks on my piano, the notebook had pressed one of the buttons that changed it from being a piano to playing sound effects. So I played the entire set with sound effects. And we didn't have cool in-ears, so I couldn't really hear what it sounded like. But what everybody else in the room heard was, I could sing a boing, 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 forever. I could sing a hee-haw, your love forever. I could sing a hee-haw, love forever. Yeah, not a joyful noise. It was not a joyful noise. It was not a good look. And in that moment, I was like, man, like I stepped out, like I did this thing. I thought it was awesome. It was a little bit about me, but it was this cool moment. And I thought, man, I messed it up. I made a rookie mistake. I laid out my music. Clay would have been so disappointed if he were there. He would have been like, come on, Cameron. But you know what? I took that step and I failed, but I took that step. And what's cool is that there's a lot of things in my life now that I could trace back to around that period where I decided and God moved in my life and I obeyed to take a step to do something that was unfamiliar, to risk messing up, to get out of my comfort zone, and to do what I believe God wanted me to do. And it's not always going to lead to success in that moment, but we still leave what's familiar to us and obey. Many of you struggling with the comfort of familiarity. Some of you dealing with the comfort of isolation. Sometimes it's just easier to be isolated by yourself. Maybe with your family, maybe with a few of the people that you always see. But there's the idea of other people having a glimpse into what's going on in your life, speaking into your life, terrifies you. It's just easier to not commit. And I'll just kind of go here and there, and maybe I'll check out this place, and maybe I'll check out this thing, and just kind of just bounce around, and you might feel very isolated. But for some of you, that is what's comfortable. You're just more comfortable that way. Just kind of by yourself. And the crazy thing is that God, in this story, with these two men, God working in the life of Saul in a way that people would not have believed at that time, working in Ananias's life in a way that he might not have seen at the time, God working in the lives of these two individuals and then brought them together on this in this amazing way and then continued this friendship and this relationship. God works in our lives separately and then brings us together so that we can live in authentic community with each other. We are better together than we are apart. And when God is working in our lives and we get together times like this, or maybe in a study group, or maybe at a different ministry, or maybe throughout the week for coffee, hey, what's God teaching you? Hey, here, what are you reading? God gives us each other so that we can have community, so that we can step out of our comfort zones together. Some of you this morning dealing with the comfort of isolation. I don't want to encourage you. Some of you need to get into Christian community. You need to get back into Christian community. You might have seen on the way in the tables that are set up outside. What's going to happen afterward is that all of our leaders that you see in these blue shirts are going to head out there. Some of you need to leave the service, go right down those stairs, and join one of our study groups to be able to run with other people that are running. There's some online components, some in-person components. Some of you need to get on bocacommunity.org/groups or in our app and just go find a group. Find other people that you can run with. Is it going to be uncomfortable? Yeah, probably. Brand new group of people. Having to be a little bit vulnerable? Yeah, might be uncomfortable. Are you going to like every person in your group? Maybe not. I've been in groups that I didn't like everybody in. I loved everybody in the group. Might not have liked everybody in the group. Some of you need to leave the comfort of your isolation. The last comfort I want to lay before you is the comfort of disobedience. Some of you here in this room, online, struggling with the comfort of disobedience. It's just easier to say no sometimes. God says, I want you to do this. But God, what about this and what about that? And you kind of put it off and maybe you just decide not to do it. It's just more comfortable to say no sometimes. It's a temporary comfort. It's very comfortable temporarily. Long term might have some consequences. What do we see Ananias doing? We see Ananias doing what God told him to do. Had Ananias disobeyed, he would have missed out on that moment. God would have pulled in somebody else and used somebody else to work in the life of Saul, but Ananias would have missed this opportunity to experience this life transformation, this new brother in Christ right before his eyes, and Ananias would have missed it. Aren't we thankful that Ananias did not stay in his comfort, stay in his disobedience? If you're struggling with these comforts or maybe some other ones in your life, I want to encourage you with some of the lessons that we see from this text from Ananias. The first thing that we see that we should do as well, expect to hear from God. Expect to hear from God. We see Ananias, yes, Lord. Here I am, Lord, right away. Boom. Yes, Lord. Some of you might not be communicating with God often enough to hear his voice. You should expect to hear his voice. And if you don't know if he's talking or not, you might not be listening. Expect to hear from God. Second, obey God's commands. It's just that simple. Obey God's commands. So you expect to hear from God, you obey God's commands. And what's crazy about this story of Ananias is that Ananias had to obey with incomplete information. God revealed to him enough. God revealed to him, hey, he's blind, he's praying, here's what I want you to do. He gave him some specific instructions. But Ananias didn't know what happened to Saul on the road. Ananias didn't know this experience that he had with God. Ananias didn't know the whole story, but yet he still obeyed. I'm standing before you as somebody who likes to know the whole story. I get it. I get that struggle. I want to know the story. I want to know that this next step is going to be a successful one before I take it sometimes. I can totally understand that. We expect to hear from God, and then we just obey. We see Ananias pushing back just a little bit. Sometimes you might have a question. Sometimes you might push back. God, are you sure about this? You really know what you want me to do in this area? And then you go. Third, encourage those far from God. Encourage those far from God. Ananias walked into this environment with this hostile person in front of him and treated him like a brother. Encouraged him in this moment, did what God wanted him to do, and he came and he encouraged him. And he introduced him to some of his friends, and then they kind of just go off, and God works amazing ways through these men and the people that they reach. Expect to hear from God. Obey God's commands and encourage those that are far from God. These are the lessons that we see in this text. And if you read throughout Scripture, you'll see that there are really two types of comfort in the Bible. There's comfort that's man-made. No, I don't really want to do that. I'm just going to stay back. You might be creating some man-made comfort in your life. But what we see in Scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 is that God is the God of all comfort. It's a different kind of comfort than you might be creating for yourself. You might want the comfort of staying safe, of limiting your obedience. What God offers is true comfort. So much so that the ultimate comfort zone is being exactly where God wants you to be in a given moment, taking each step, trusting him along the way as you obey him. That is the comfort zone that you and I should want to be in. But so many of us are held back. We're held back by what if, and oh no, and what are they going to think about me, and is God going to be enough, and what about all these things? And Ananias just takes this step and obeys. And I would imagine that in this room and our online audience, there may be something that God is prompting you to do that you have been pushing off for some time. Maybe it's somebody that he wants you to share the gospel with. Maybe it's something he wants you to start. Maybe it's a job he wants you to leave to do this other thing. Maybe it's a relationship he wants you to pursue. Maybe it's a relationship he does not want you to pursue and you keep pursuing it. There are just a lot of different things that I would imagine are going on in your life at this time. God has given us passion and gifts and so many amazing things that he wants for us to do. But you might be stuck right there in your comfort zone, right there with what's familiar, with what feels safe to you, with what feels logical to you, and you've been talking yourself out of taking that step. This could be something that maybe God shared with you during our 15 days of prayer in December. This might be something that God has put on your heart that you've been wrestling with for the last 20 years. This could be something that God has put on your heart this morning. And I want you to think about what that step is. What is that step that God is calling you to take? When God says, go to Ananias, he's asking him to leave his house and go see Saul. What is God telling you to do? Is God saying, go and do something in your life? Some of you probably having some things come to mind. I want to encourage you to pray and ask God what he might be sharing with you, or that he would give you the courage to take a step. And if you have something in mind, I'm going to ask you to do something a little bit uncomfortable. If you believe God is sharing with you something he wants you to do, something he wants you to step out in faith in, out of your comfort zone, and do something that he's telling you to do, and you just need to actually listen to him and obey. If God is doing something in your heart right now, and there's something you know you need to do, I'm going to ask you to do something a little uncomfortable with all of the eyes open and all of the heads up. I want you to just take the first step of being a little bit uncomfortable right now and just stand up where you are in your seat. If God is calling you to do something just a little bit uncomfortable, stand up right where you are. So many of you in this room stepping up saying, God is calling me to do something just a little bit uncomfortable. And this first step that you're taking is saying to God, it's saying, yes, I understand that this thing is being asked of me. I understand that this might be uncomfortable. I understand that there's people around me that know that I'm stepping into something uncomfortable in a way that's positive and good so that you that are seated can pray for and encourage these people as they take that step out of their comfort zone. This is so cool. It's cool to see people obeying what God has for them to do. And we don't even know what God is asking all of you to do and the stories that might come from this, but we just know that when God says go, we obey and we do it. God calls us out of our comfort zone so that we can rely on him to do things that we cannot do on our own. The thing that God might be asking you to do is not something that you can do under your own power. So don't try to do it. Don't try to do that thing under your own power. Rely on him. Communicate with him. Run with other people that are also following Jesus. Many of you may be in our online audience standing up as well saying, I want to take this step. And we are here to take that step with you. Our prayer team will be down front and we're gonna pray. We'll be here to pray with you. Maybe you need to tell somebody in your group or your group leader, or maybe you need to get into a group, or maybe you need to tell your spouse or that person you came with so that there can be some accountability together. I wanna pray for all of us now in this room, as many of you deciding to take a step, obeying God. God, we thank you for this moment where you are calling so many people into something new, into something a little bit scary, a little bit uncomfortable. And I pray that you would bless their step, that you would give them the courage to proceed, to move forward, maybe with incomplete information. that you would give them the boldness to do what they might not have done without you. But I pray that they would do it with you, that they would take this step to be bold. Maybe it's the step to follow you. Maybe it's the step to tell somebody about you. Whatever this uncomfortable step might be for them, I pray that you would carry them along the way on this journey, that you would be there right beside them, that they would experience such amazing growth in their life, that they would experience so much love and care and encouragement from you. I pray for those standing or those sitting would be able to look back on this day as a day that they decided to take that step, that you moved in their life, that they would be able to look back and say, I took that first step. It felt uncomfortable. I might have failed, but God, you are good and you are calling me to do this thing. I pray that you would give courage to those that are standing, to all of us, to get out of our comfort zones, that we would see the way that you're working in all of our lives for your good and for your glory. I pray this in Jesus' name.